Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to North Fulton Business Radio from the Roswell Infinity Studio here at Digital Ignition. I'm Mike Sam, alongside John Ray. I'm surprised John still remembered how to get to the studio after being off for the holiday and the week before going to see your grandbaby down in Texas.
That's right, Dallas.
So, but welcome back.
I'm glad to be back.
Yes.
And you didn't change the lock, so I got in.
It was supposed to be done, but somebody forgot. So yeah, anyway.
Oh, well.
No, just kidding, of course. We've got a couple of great guests here in the studio. We'll be joined by Jay Litton with MapR Technologies and RUMC Job Networking. Also joining us is Portia Parker with Millennial Performance Institute. But before we get to them, I want to let you know about our location here, Digital Ignition, located in Alpharetta. Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Digital Ignition offers an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desks, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, a video recording studio, and much, much more. Come celebrate Digital Ignition's one-year anniversary at their open house on July 26th. It's coming up. Join them and RSVP at digitalignition.com/events. Come see great co-working to impress investors, customers, and future employees. Again, July 26th, 2017. So if you listen to the podcast after that date, you missed the one-year anniversary. So just come to the two-year anniversary.
Absolutely, because it's going to be just as good then as it is now.
It's going to be a party.
Absolutely.
Raise the roof.
Yep.
All right, our first guest here on North Fulton Business Radio from MapR Technologies. He's also going to talk about RUMC Job Networking. It is Mr. Jay Litton. Jay, welcome to the studio.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, we talked and met at the, what was it, the Alpharetta Business Association Expo? Or was
the Greater North Fulton
Greater North
Expo.
Fulton
mm-hmm.
Yep. Chamber Expo, and we did a short interview then. So we've got a little bit more time now to talk about your company. So kind of give us a broad overview of MapR Technologies.
Yeah, MapR Technologies is a disruptive technology, meaning companies are doing things differently now than they were ever before, the last 30 years. And this disruption really started with Google. So if I take you back to 1998, they had 19 competitors. Nobody could figure out what they were doing to be the best search engine. But 6 years later, they wrote a white paper and they said, what we're doing is we're using a lot of computers, commodity hardware, instead of like one big mainframe. Well, that really lit people up. So the trend today is to use small computers, a lot of servers, tie them all together and be able to make sense. So thousands of people writing software to work on these hundreds and thousands of computers, and they call it Hadoop, and they call it Spark. They call it many other different types of applications. And today, what's really exciting is the merging of historical data and real-time data. And the best example I could give you would be American Express. When you take that American Express card and you swipe it, within 3 milliseconds, American Express uses MapR technology and commodity hardware to determine if that's a fraudulent transaction. Their competitors don't do that. And so it takes them many minutes or hours to make that determination. That's what makes American Express so unique. Technology is being used by Uber, so you know what's going on in real time. So when you combine historical data and real-time data, companies can today could do machine learning on that, which automates that decision.
All right. So
that was a lot. I'm sorry.
MapR technology, you do things like the credit card help with the fraud.
We provide the software that our customers use to be able to deploy to distributive computing, which means using a lot of servers. And I can give you examples of even local companies if you're interested.
But yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Sure. So local company here in Alpharetta is Liaison Technologies. They are using the MapR platform to go to healthcare organizations where the data is in a lot of different locations. They bring them all together into MapR, and they're able to run analytics on it. So they're trying to prevent disease. They're try to provide hospitals the ability to dismiss patients on time instead of too early or too late. So there's a lot of cost savings in that. Another company probably has gotten the largest VC money here in Georgia over the last few years, for about $450 million of VC money, is Cabbage. And they have automated the ability to give small businesses loans. So within 7 minutes, once you get on their website, they are popping money into your PayPal account. It's just amazing what people are doing when they're not using the FICO score anymore. They're using other data sources.
So Jay, I guess it sounds like the importance here of the service that you offer is speed and accuracy of the data. And you marry that to create an environment where your clients can make good decisions about whatever it is they're trying to decide about their potential clients.
Yeah, too many customers today are basing their decisions on historical data that's in relational databases like Oracle or IBM or whatever. It's like, it's history. Today, companies are wanting to make decisions, what's going on right this second. And another example of that would be one of the top, can't mention their name, but largest, one of the top two retailers in the world. Their recommendation engine, when they went from historical data to real-time data, they increased their sales by $1 billion because when you're on their website, they're looking at every click that you're making. They're not going to some database and pulling from that.
Now, I can't imagine MapR is the only company out there that's doing this kind of work. Talk about your competition and really talk about what makes you MapR unique.
Okay, sure. So I guess our competition's in two different places. One is in this Hadoop space, these modern applications, and companies that we compete with are only in the historical context of things. So they're just working with historical data. If they try to add real-time data, that's another portion of their business. You know, we are the only company that can combine the historical and the real-time on one set of servers so you can take action on it immediately. We actually have no other competitor in that. As a matter of fact, some validation for us, the largest application provider in the world is SAP, if you've ever heard of SAP.
Sure.
They just made a decision to host all of their applications in the cloud. So their customers are going to go to their cloud to use their applications. And they have selected MapR over IBM, EMC, and NetApp in making MapR the file system of choice to go to the distributed computing cloud provider setup that they have.
I mean, you've got some major clients you're talking about. And now, is MapR based here in Roswell, or is that just kind of you and your office here?
That's me and a couple other people. Okay. But we work out of our homes, but we're in front of clients every day, so that's what we do. But we're based in San Jose, and are private. We've been in operation for 8 years.
Your title is sales director for the Southeast.
It is.
How do you find new business?
That is the tough. I get on radio shows.
Okay.
That's great answer.
I also volunteer a lot, so we'll talk about that in a moment. But you know, if you got a heart to help people, I don't know about you, but if you can help somebody get another job, they never forget that. And so people do favors for me all the time.
Who are you? Because and let's see if I can help you right now, because you are on Business Radio X, our listening audiences, executives, business owners, people like that. What are the types of businesses that you work best with?
I work best with businesses that are trying to take their data and use it for a competitive advantage. I was speaking to a customer yesterday, and I'm under NDA with this one, so I can only say so much, but they want to change the way their customer interfaces with them by using real-time data instead of historical data. It's going to fundamentally change their business. And this is a company that does, a couple billion dollars of revenue a year. I mean, to me, that's exciting to be a part of that mix.
You mentioned volunteering is one way to meet some new businesses and find some new leads, but it's something that you feel good about as well. So RUMC job networking, I think that's what we really talked about last time I met you at the job expo or the business expo. So talk about your time volunteering for that organization and give us maybe a broad overview of what that organization does.
Sure, absolutely. So for the last 20 years, I've been the leader and now a co-leader at RUMC job networking, where we help people get the resources and the skills that they need to be successful in their job search. And we have relationships with like the Roswell Rotary, Roswell Inc., and the Greater North Fulton Chamber of Commerce, where they actually bring employers to us and we mix the two together. So every meeting, we start at 12:30 in the afternoon. We have dinner and then we have about, 10 or 11 workshops in the afternoon after that, starting at 12:30. We then go to a dinner at 5:30. We have a dinner speaker, a dinner program. We have roundtables, and it's all about interacting and doing networking. And then we have more workshops, and then we have a keynote speaker. And when someone comes, they're usually pretty surprised because we'll typically get over 300 people at each meeting. And we do this twice a month, the second and fourth Monday. It's just an opportunity for people to realize they're not alone. And yeah, we include some faith-based messaging, which is don't do this alone. Include God in your job search. Include us, the volunteers, in your job search. And it's just absolutely exciting. We have 90 volunteers that we need physically on site to be successful for every meeting. And the cool thing is we never have to run down volunteers. They actually give us notice, say, I'm not going to be there because I got to go on a business trip. So we are so blessed.
That's remarkable that you started this thing 20 years ago and it's grown to the level and impact it's known, because I think people come from all over the Atlanta area to come to RUMC Job Networking, right?
And we've got a lot of national coverage, which means we try to help other churches at the same time. And, you know, just one critique, I wouldn't say I started it. It was already in existence. But when I came on board, it seems like all the volunteers quit. And I became a Christian a couple years later. And I said, instead of this being a program, let's turn this into a ministry. And then, to be honest with you, God just kind of took over. And the volunteers came in and the people came. And it's just been just unbelievable.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if a person comes to one of these meetings, what can they expect?
You know, they can expect to be greeted warmly. And I don't know about you, but if you know somebody that's in transition or if you've been that way yourself, let's say finance is an issue, probably family life is a little bit issue, maybe a spouse issue, friends, everybody treats you differently. And we're here to solve those ills with a lot of resources and work. We have one workshop, Hal Coleman, who's at the Roswell Rotary, puts on a workshop, Why Should I Hire You? And you know, if you can't answer that question very succinctly, most people say, well, the reason you should hire me is, and they start reading their resume. And people go, their eyes glaze over. Instead, if you listen to Hal Coleman, as someone hearing the answer, you're thinking, wow, how can I think I can help you because I know some people in these areas. So we train people to equip them through spiritual methods, through practical methods, through networking. We have 100 people that are called industry guides. They never show up at every meeting, but they'll be glad to take a phone call for 15 minutes from a job seeker that selects them. We have a tire to hire closet where donated clothing comes to us. And we've equipped over the last 5 years, 3,100 job seekers with complete outfit, both men and women. LinkedIn headshots, you know, that's important too. Your LinkedIn, not only a workshop, but actually getting a professional photographer to take your photo. I can go on and on.
Right.
But just if your listeners can go to our website, they can see what's set up for the next meeting and we'll take care of my promise.
Go ahead and give that website now since you're mentioning it.
It's just RUMCjobnetworking.com. I've tried to get a shorter name, but it's never worked.
Now, Jay, we're in a hot job market right now, but yet RUMC Job Networking continues to grow. Why is that? If the job market is so hot and it's a lot
That's
easier
a good point.
To get hired.
I've had some people say, Jay, I hope you go out of business. And they mean that in a nice way. But here's the deal. There's always somebody who doesn't like their boss. There's always somebody that just moved here and their spouse needs a job. You know, they moved here for some other employment. There's people, I know you find this hard to believe, but they want to make more money. We cater to all those folks. And in a city the size of Atlanta with millions of people around here, to only have 300 people here is a shock to me. We should have thousands of people at every meeting. But I think we have a long lifespan ahead of us.
That's great work. Now, you're the creator of something called the WOW interview. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's what got me started in 97. I was interviewing for a job. And I thought, you know, I need to do something different. Most of the people that teach interviewing are either from the HR profession or the recruiters. I'm in sales. I sell software. And I believe the face-to-face interview with a hiring manager is actually a sales call.
You're selling yourself.
Absolutely. But people don't, okay, well, how do I change what I've been taught to do? And so if you're PPQ, I call it the most prepared, the most passionate and qualified candidate. I show people, and I've got on my website, people can download for free all this information. And you can learn how to get a hiring manager at the end of the interview to look at you in the face and go, wow, that was impressive. It's exciting to hear from candidates that take the time to be PPQ, again, the most prepared, most passionate, qualified candidate, which differentiates them in such a way that the hiring manager can go back to their old job, which is not interviewing. And if you can help the hiring manager select you as the candidate because you're PPQ, you're making it so much easier for them.
Great work. I mean, this is...
So the key is to have an interview where the interview manager says, wow.
That's right.
At the end.
That's right.
What happens if they say cool beans?
I take that. Usually that means there's a job offer coming.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know if you have to change the name of the program to the Cool Beans Interview or something.
Great idea. I bet there's listeners right now going to that URL and taking that away from me, but that's okay.
So you're a sales guy. I'm kind of a marketing person. So that's really cool. Before we get more information as far as the website and everything for both MapR Technologies and again the RUMC website, where do you see both organizations going? What's next on the horizon for MapR Technologies, and where do you see RUMC expanding to? What more can you do with that?
Sure. In the case of MapR, MapR in the future, I think you'll see us no longer be a private company. I think the momentum is just too great for us. For example, I used to cover 4 states by myself 18 months ago. Today, we now have 7 salespeople in the Southeast. So just in 18 months. So that should give you some idea. Also, the other thing that's exciting to be part of an organization that helps other customers. One other customer I didn't mention locally is a company called Cardalytics. And they're doing marketing. You mentioned marketing. That's what made me think of it. If you're a Dunkin' Donuts franchise and you want to know everybody in a 4-mile radius that went to Krispy Kreme last month, Cardalytics can give you that information. And it's because they're using MapR in this distributed platform that we're talking about. So I don't know. It's just exciting. And then on the case of RUMC job networking, I kind of mix the two together a little bit. We've had companies like First Data, Fiserv. We've had a lot of companies come to job networking and say, we need to fill. Equifax, we helped them. They had 800 jobs open about a year or so ago, and they used us exclusively to do that. Avalon here now, Alpharetta, when they first opened up, we hosted their career fair to fill up all the stores. There was about 40 stores at that time. So we just want to be available to people that need to hire and available to job seekers that need a job.
And you sleep when?
Well, I'm lucky. We've got unbelievable volunteers at job networking, which allows me to have a full-time job.
Jay Litton, of course, our guest from MapR Technologies and RUMC Job Networking. You mentioned the website for RUMC Job Networking is rumcjobnetworking.com. Hello. For MapR Technologies?
Just MapR.com. So MAPR.com.
Great. Jay, thank you for coming by.
Love it.
Great to have you here on the show. John?
Mike, Jay was talking about the great team at RUMC Job Networking. There's a great team over at Roswell Infinity.
And will you tell me about them, please?
I want to tell you about them. Casey and her folks at Roswell Infinity, they're one of the original Infinity dealerships in the country, and they aim to provide top-notch customer service and are dedicated to providing a stress-free environment, whether purchasing or servicing your vehicle. For more information, visit them at RoswellInfinity.com or follow Roswell Infinity on Facebook or on Twitter.
All right, John, our next guest here on North Fulton Business Radio is Portia Parker with the Millennial Performance Institute. Good morning, Portia.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us about Millennial Performance Institute. What do you do? And you're the CEO and the founder. So tell us about the Institute.
Yeah, so we work with companies. We're a coaching and a consulting firm. And we work with companies around their people problems. So John works with companies around their finances and issues around accounting. We're all about the people. So turnover challenges, as I'm sure you know, when companies lose an employee, there's a lot of money that goes into training and looking for another employee, and then also performance issues. So a lot of our clients, when they come to us, they might say, we have our employees and we think they can handle 10 accounts, but they're only able to handle 5. Why is that? Their performance isn't up to par. And so we go in and we help. How we help is customized depending on the company. So we could do some workshops, trainings, we do group coaching, things like that.
A lot of components there that would maybe fall under the HR umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a little bit of a niche. It's kind of in your title, Millennials.
Right.
Talk about why you kind of decided to go in that direction. And, mm-hmm. and what are we talking about when we talk about Millennials?
Okay. So the first thing is you can probably look at me and tell that I am a Millennial, talking about Millennials.
And you can look at John and me and see that we're not Millennials.
No, and that's fine. That's why I'm here to talk about it. And so when I say Millennial, you smile because we pretty much get a bad rap. We are told that we're the employees that are lazy, entitled, quit their jobs every 6 weeks. And companies really have a lot of challenges around that. And so one of our main focuses is helping companies to really capitalize and unlock the potential of their millennial employees. And then also on the other side of things, it's really intergenerational communication is what I like to call it. So how everyone can get on the same page and really bridge that gap with everyone that's in the workforce.
Now, Portia, I know that there may be most of our listeners know about millennials, but for those that have been under a rock somewhere and don't know what a millennial is, why don't you just define it for everyone?
Yeah. So
well, she did. They're lazy. They change jobs every 6 weeks.
She's gonna be working with you soon, Mike. But yeah,
entitled.
You know, there are different ways to look at things, and we'll talk about that in terms of those labels and why they're there and how companies can really get around those things. So there are these companies that study generations. And so the different companies, depending on your source, will have a different kind of timeline on when a millennial starts and when they stop. But it's roughly people who were born from 1980 to the year 2000. So we're talking about people in their mid-30s to kind of early 20s.
So
generally,
okay. So, other than having labels and stereotypes about what millennials are, why is everyone talking about millennials?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, millennials are actually the predominant group in the workforce right now, and by 2025, it's expected that millennials will be 75% of the workforce. So, when we think about kind of the negative labels out there. Your listeners, progressive business owners, executives know that this is your workforce and, it's going to be 3/4 of your workforce pretty soon. So finding out ways to really get the most from your employees is, kind of what we're talking about now. Also, millennials are your large, well, it depends, but they're one of the largest consumer bases out there right now. So when you think about marketing your products, marketing your services, understanding how millennials think is a really big component of that.
All right. So, and that's, I think that's where the disconnect is with maybe the people that are running the companies and the millennials that they're interviewing. It's not that they're lazy, but they got to have feel a passion, I guess, for what they do. What is it that motivates the millennials?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I like to say when people say, are millennials that different? I just don't get it. Really, the mindset is different. So you're right. Having a purpose and a passion in, what you're doing at work, the products that you use in your house, the restaurants that you choose to, dine at, all of that is really important to millennials. So there really is not that disconnect from previous generations where, hey, I go to work and then, I just go home. It's just a job. I'm here to get a paycheck. Millennials want a bit more than that. And so, yeah, having that passion, that purpose is really important.
How much does technology play into this? Because this is the generation that kind of grew up with it. And, the generation, unfortunately, you're giving away our ages, but John and I, we didn't grow up with, the internet and Twitter and Facebook and things like that. How much does technology maybe muddy the waters and maybe create a little bit of this disconnect?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Technology has created, a really big chasm for a lot of companies. One thing that you'll see is a lot of millennials are not as comfortable with face-to-face communication like you and I are having right now. So one of the big things that I hear from managers and executives is they're addicted to their smartphone. I can't really have a conversation with them, but they want to text me. Or they might send me an email 3 days later for a question I asked in person during a meeting. And so actually talking about communication, we do a lot of communication workshops and then also some strategic consulting around how companies can really bridge that gap with communications, just depending on, their millennial employees and their baby boomer employees, Gen Xers, everyone.
Now, Portia, let's come at differences a little bit differently if we can, because a lot of times we talk about differences and that's a negative.
Right.
So what are the differences that millennials have that are positives for the employers that hire them?
Yeah. So millennials are very tech savvy. So that is one thing that we talked about earlier. your average millennial employee, and it can get them into trouble sometimes, and we'll see how, is they can look at a problem and tell you how to get from point A to point B very quickly. So no more of the, let me give you a sheet of paper and you take it around the office and get it signed by four people and then put it in this basket on this desk. A millennial usually will see a faster way to do that, possibly using technology, being more efficient. And so most millennials also will voice that opinion as well. So if you really can harness that, you can see how to improve processes and productivity, you know, within a company as well. So that's one of the main things. I like to say tech savvy, but also entrepreneurial. So your average millennial likes the idea of having a side. I was reading an article and it said 75% of millennials believe in having a side hustle, something that is like a part-time job that could potentially turn into a full-time, full-paying type of gig. And so when you think about that from the perspective of a company, if you can harness that within your company, then you can use those ideas, those suggestions to make improvements and increase your own profitability.
And what you just described goes against the whole definition of lazy,
right?
Which is kind of one of the things that people think of, you know, unfortunately, they're tagged with that term.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
So, Portia, let's back up and talk about you, your background, the expertise that you bring to the subject.
Yeah. So I actually have a degree in psychology from the University of Georgia. And when I graduated, like most millennials, it was the depths of the recession. It was 2009. And professors were actually saying, it's easier to go to grad school than it is to go get a job. Don't go get a job. Heard professors say that in Athens. And I was kind of like, no, I had no debt. And I said, I want to go to work. And I had always wanted to move to California. And so I did that. And I lived in LA for about 6 years. But while I was out there, I fell into financial consulting. And so I worked for a financial consulting firm. And at that firm, we sold to small business owners all the way up to enterprise clients about how they could capitalize on tax credits and incentives. And I know, John, we're probably the only people that are interested in that. But basically, I got to meet a lot of business owners. I got to talk to a lot of people and then see what challenges they were having. And so when I decided that, hey, I've sold enough for someone else, it's time to get back into my own thing. I'd heard about coaching, got certified, and actually my first client that had a business, he had an architecture and design firm, and went in and did a workshop for him and some of his employees. And then he pulled me to the side and said, Portia, I just had this employee and they got on Glassdoor and they started venting about the company. Why would they do this? I just don't understand. And so in having that conversation with that business owner, I noticed a few things. That was my ding, 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 ding moment that how millennials are looking at a lot of situations and how they will communicate, you know, their thoughts and beliefs is different than how a lot of other generations would do it. He couldn't understand why this employee didn't talk to him or their direct manager about the issues they put online, but it, you know, they felt comfortable going online and posting. And so a lot of millennials, you know, that's just a difference in communication in terms of, you know, what the challenges are. And in seeing that for a business owner, I said, there's something to this whole millennial thing.
That's a great story about your first client. Let's talk about your clients generally and those that are maybe listening to this interview and are interested in what you have to offer. How do you work with a client? Talk about how that happens.
Yeah. So some of the main challenges that companies have when they're kind of looking for, you know, outside help in this area, they might have a turnover problem. They might, you know, have positions that just kind of stay open and they're losing money, quite frankly. And, you know, depending on the position, you know, whether it's a position where a lot of millennials have turned over or not, that's an area of concern for a lot of business owners and executives. So that's why they might look for someone with my expertise. Also, if they just get the feeling that things could be going better. Right? We could be on the same page. We could be working together instead of against each other, right? We've all had those experiences within companies where, you know, people seem to be doing their own thing. And so in those cases, a lot of companies bring us in to, you know, kind of assess, you know, the issues that are going on, and then maybe make some strategic recommendations or do some workshops to kind of focus on certain areas. We do a lot of management training and workshops for managers to relate to their staff a bit more.
We're talking with Portia Parker with Millennial Performance Institute. And as you've been talking, Portia, I've been thinking, and that's when I kind of get in trouble. It seems to me that if you run a company these days, it used to be in the quote unquote old days, I'm doing air quotes for those that, you know, are listening on radio, people would come and join your organization and they would kind of have to change to fit into your organization. It almost sounds like these days, if you own a company, you need to change your company to kind of fit for these millennials that are now coming into the workforce. Would does that make sense? And would that be a fair statement?
Instead of change, I'd probably say adapt a little bit to, you know, your workforce and your demographic, you know, whomever that may be. But really to get the most from your employees.
Right.
Yeah.
It used to be, this is the way it's going to be done. But if you want, as you kind of walked into it, the most out of your employees, maybe you need to kind of cater to them or adapt a little bit more towards them.
Yeah. And it's about understanding what's important to, you know, anyone in terms of getting what you want as an employer. So, you know, it's the same thing with, you know, the demographic that you sell to. You want to find out what keeps them up at night, what their hot button issues are. So,
And you may not understand it, but if you're getting better results, that's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
As they say, at the end of the day, that's the bottom line. So I just threw two cliches together.
Boy,
at the end of the day, that's the bottom line.
Boy, you did. But I want to get to maybe a tip, Portia, or tip or two that you can offer companies that help them improve engagement with their employees across generational lines.
Yeah. I think the first thing that companies really need to think about is providing a positive work environment. So you really need a place where people are encouraged to share, you know, how they feel about certain things that are going on within a company. You've got to have that open dialogue going on. If it's just kind of, you know, us versus them and, you know, baby boomers versus millennials or this department versus that department, you're not going to get very far. And then I think one of the really just kind of common sense things, it's really about respecting everyone. You know, people bring different aspects to the workforce and different things to their role that really help them stick out. And so, you know, whether or not someone's been in, you know, that company for 25 years, you know, they still can bring something to the table.
Yeah, this sounds like good common sense advice as opposed to just aimed at millennials that workforce.
Mm-hmm.
We were joking with Jay earlier. How does he find his new clients? He comes on the radio and he does his volunteering. How do you normally find your new clients?
I do a wide variety of things. I would say that my number one business development strategy has been speaking. So we can consider this speaking too.
Yeah.
But we also host small either executive roundtables or power breakfast events in the area where we invite executives to come and, you know, listen a little bit more and get some more details about millennials, about challenges with employee engagement is what it's called in the kind of corporate world. And, you know, just have a nice breakfast and kind of talk about these certain things the way we're talking now. And so, you know, that's usually kind of how I find clients.
Great. Well, for those that would like to find out more about you and about the Institute, where can they get more information?
Yes, our website is www.millennial. So that's millennialpi.com. And what was interesting, I wanted to piggyback really quick to what Jay, the first guest, said. A service that we've had come up, you know, within the last, I'd say, year and a half, we started with outplacement and also resume services because we found that a lot of companies were having to lay off employees and they wanted to find a way to support them in that transition. So just to say to Jay, what he's doing is, you know, very, very commendable. But, you know, from a company perspective as well, there are resources to help employees that, you know, are being laid off.
And I would say for those that are looking for jobs or looking maybe for a change, today was a good show to listen to between RUMC, you know, job networking and, of course, Millennial Performance Institute.
Great show.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing the work you do. Continued success, and thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Portia Parker with Millennial Performance Institute. Before I say our goodbyes, you've got one piece of business to finish up with, John.
Mike, I want to remind everyone that Ferratech is an authorized HP and Xerox dealer.
Speaking of a good company, by the way.
Really? With a very engaged person at the top, Maria. We love Maria. She does a great job with her folks. Who we've had on the show.
Yep. And she understands millennials.
She does. You gonna let me finish?
I'm sorry. I completely ruined your read. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Sorry, Maria.
No, it's okay. We had to give Maria a shout out. She deserves it. But no, Maria's company, Ferratech, is an authorized HP and Xerox dealer that also sells and services all leading brands of toner, printers, copiers, and computer hardware. Ferratech has certified service technicians that provide on-site service and a delivery team that offers free local delivery and pickup 5 days a week. For more information, visit ferratech.com. That's ferratech.com. But it's always a spelling test at the end of that one, right? No, that's good. Ferratech, great people and remarkable service.
All right. Again, thanks to Jay Litton with RUMC Job Networking and MapR Technologies and Portia Parker with Millennial Performance Institute. A reminder, you can listen to this show anytime you want, 24/7, by going to NorthFultonBusinessRadioX.com. You can also check out any of our other episodes at the website. We're also available on iTunes. We hope you'll follow us on Twitter. Go to our Facebook page. We're on LinkedIn. All that good stuff. For John, for our producer, Trey, for Savannah, who's taking care of some of our social media today, I'm Mike, and we'll see you next time right here on North Fulton Business Radio.